Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you here. There's a lot of folks listening in on the computer today, and so we just want to wish you across America a very, very Merry Christmas and tell you how much we appreciate you being a part of the show today. Today is, what is it, that's December 21st, 2009. I'd like to put that on the front part of the program for many of those of you who log into Blog Talk Radio and listen to the program on a download on your iPod. We just want to make sure you know which one you're listening to. So thank you so much for being a part of us and a part of the program, listening in, tuning in, and to all that's going on in the industry. There is so much to talk about, and this program is going to be the last program for this year. We are not going to have a program on the 28th. Next Monday, we are going to take a break, a Christmas holiday break, and as many of you are, and we just want to let you know in advance, we are not going to be on the air next week, but we'll be returning again on the 4th, and looking forward to bringing you all that's going on. Today's program, we're going to be talking a lot about looking at the year in review, and then also looking forward into what we can anticipate happening in the new year ahead. So stay tuned all the way through the program. We've got a lot for you. Excuse me. And as we start off every program, we're going to go right to interest rates. Joe Farr, thank you so much. Merry Christmas, Joe.
Hey, Dave. Well, thank you very much.
Well, it's good to have you be a part of what we're doing here, bringing the industry up to speed and all that's going on. So what's going on in the world of rates?
Well, right now we're down a little bit. We're down about 15, 30 seconds on the day, and that is at the low for the day. Unfortunately, already today, early investors have issued unfavorable price changes. And so, it's starting the week on a down day. Not uncommon for this time of the year, though, Dave.
Yeah, that's fairly common.
Last half of December, you get volatility. The stock market's up, so those of you who own stock investments, you might feel good about that, although the mortgage rates are off. So just a volatile time of the year. Last week, we had a week that also showed a good bit of volatility. We started the week low, rates going higher, prices going down. Prices were pushed lower due to what was a very surprising PPI number. It came in a good bit higher than expected. It's always a fairly volatile number, and fortunately the CPI number, which came out last week, kind of offset the inflation scare that the earlier PPI had provided and caused the market to move back the other way in the second half of the week. We also had a Fed meeting last week. That's been extremely interesting to the market, and the market's reacted to it, although this last Fed meeting really saw no surprises, Dave. It was pretty much the same statement. Inflation's not a concern in the near term. They did add a phrase saying that the deterioration of the labor market is abating, which, we've all seen in the jobs numbers. But,
yes.
The Fed also made a statement that, about the MBS purchase program that's been so near and dear to our hearts. The statement kind of reiterated what they had said in the past, which was, the $1.25 trillion will be purchased, and the purchases will be done by the end of the first quarter.
Yes, yeah, I think so. They're not making any changes to what they're doing. What we're hearing, off camera, offline, is that we're going to examine, see where the market's at, how active others are participating in this thing. We're prepared to come in with another commitment. I don't think they're going to let this housing industry crash. Because it's certainly if MBS, it's not predictable that if MBS is crashed, there's no one buying them, that's going to have a dramatic negative effect on our industry, Joe?
Well, you got to expect rates will go up when they stop buying because they're such a big participant in the marketplace right now.
Yeah.
And just that, you know, removing that much of demand from the market should cause prices to fall, rates to go up to attract other investors. We did hear this morning from a Fed governor, Fed Governor Evans was making comments, and one of the things he implied in his we're reading in what he said was that they were going to buy MBSs to fulfill what they'd committed to the market they were going to do, and basically by saying that it's almost as though he just assumed not. Which is a sign of changing their monetary policy. Now, that's not to say that they won't. I think that they will, but I think the betting man would be leaning against any further commitment to expand the MBS program. Again, all bets are off if the market goes south, so that it prevents the continuing recovery. But I just don't think that there's going to be an expansion. I don't think anyone is counting on an expansion of that purchase program.
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting new year. And for those of you that are in, that are dialed in or listening, be sure to listen all the way to the last segment. We're going to be talking about predictions as we move forward, or predictions as much as just observations. And we're not trying to be prognosticators of what's going to happen in the market, but there's some further easy predictions and things that we can anticipate as a result of things going on. Interest rates, yeah, Joe, I think one thing we can anticipate, and we'll talk more about later, is there's the possibility for higher interest rates. So get those transactions closed that you have pending. Tell the borrowers about it. Again, refer them a piece of this program. Send them this program. We'll be able to help them out.
Yeah.
And again, let's talk about anything else before we wrap up this segment, Joe.
Well, just this week, even though
it's
a short week, we're off Friday. There's still a lot to be announced this week. We're going to see both the existing home sales and the new home sales report for the activity in November. They're going to be released Tuesday and Wednesday, respectively. Another very important inflationary measure comes out on Wednesday. It's called the core PCE.
That's right.
It comes out Wednesday, and we hope that it's going to show a tame inflation, much like the core PCI, CPI did. And another thing, it's interesting to note, and I don't know how often this happens, but on Wednesday of this week, the Fed's going to announce what they're going to auction as far as treasuries go for next week. And that's a shortened week. Investors are pretty well gone. It could be an extremely volatile week next week with treasury auctioning off. It's the twos, fives, and sevens, and
the
twos obviously are a little bit short for affecting the mortgage rates, but the fives and sevens could influence mortgage rates. And if there's not a lot of people participating in the marketplace, it'd be very interesting to see what happens. So very odd that they're choosing to auction treasuries that time of the year.
It is odd, and it's even more odd that they're trying to pass a health care bill at 1 o'clock in the morning, too. It's just interesting with some of the stuff that's going on right at the moment out of within the Beltway. But, Joe, thank you so much as you bring in our perspective all the way through. There's the talk that could also have an impact, and we can go into this in greater depth in the last segment of the program today, is China is talking about cutting back on the treasuries. That is really interesting.
Well, they've been doing that for some time, and what they're trying to do, I think, is force the U.S. to kind of pay attention to their own balance sheet and to stop spending at deficits the way that we are. And talk is cheap, but if they did actually start doing something about it, it could drastically affect what Treasury yields are in order to attract investors. They are such a big investor.
Such a big part of the market. And then as far as Friday, everyone's going to be taking off. The markets are closed. Am I correct, Joe?
That's correct. Markets closed on Friday.
Well,
May we see a good new year as we look at it. Thank you, Joe, for being a part of the program, as you are throughout this year. And thank you so much for being a part of it in the upcoming year. We appreciate these updates. It's so valuable. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
Whether you need a new warehouse line, are making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions,
or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Hello, everybody. This is Dave Licken. We're back on Licken on Lending. We're going to be talking about our next segment, and our next segment is the traffic report, as we now refer to it as, all the legislative traffic that's heading towards us. Alice, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you as well and your family and everyone there at Mortgage U and Russell Trott. Give them all a warm hello. Appreciate you being a part of it. Give us the update on what has happened, or more like what hasn't happened this week. Healthcare is kind of dominating everything, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I guess the good news in the traffic report is that the House has adjourned for the rest of the year. So at least we can just try and catch up now this week. And like you said, the Senate is going to stay focused on healthcare, we're pretty sure. But just some important dates for everybody to keep in mind as we approach the end of the year, what's coming up. We've got December 24th is the expiration date for when your responses can get submitted for the changes to Reg Z. This is the proposed rule, not a bill. We have people responding to this like it's a bill, like it's got to get passed. This is the proposed rule that will change how we calculate APR, so it's going to include all fees potentially in calculating the APR, which, you know, has a trickle-down effect into some of our high-cost loan testing and redisclosure issues. And then it's also going to change, or it has a statement in it that says that a loan originator can't be compensated based on the interest rate and the loan terms. This is the part people are responding to. You want to make sure you do good comments on that before the year closes. Right now, there's over 3,000 comments posted on that one. Secondly is the proposed rule for the lender approval piece. So HUD has their proposal out there to change lender approval requirements. This is the one that's going to increase the minimum net worth requirements for lenders. It's going to be moved to $1 million. Once your current approval expires, you'll have to resubmit and be able to stay a mortgagee at $1 million, and then within 3 years it's going to be up to $2.5 million or maybe even higher. And then it would also eliminate FHA approval for mortgage brokers. So, you know, good and bad that goes with that. And I shouldn't just say brokers, I would say any entity that wants to originate FHA loans. So, you know, there are a lot of credit unions out there that this is impacting as well who say, hey, this sounds great, I can take FHA applications, but you wouldn't be able to fund the loan. You'd only be able to take the application and find a place to sell it. Those comments all have to be in by December 30th. And then, of course, January 1st, we have our implementation of all the new RESPA requirements and the new definition for an application under RESPA, and everybody's starting to use that new good faith and that new HUD 1. So that's my quick update for right now.
Quick update. Well, we appreciate you bringing it to us each week as you do so cheerfully in spite of it. You know, like one person just texted me and says, why the heck did these guys adjourn back in June and go home? They haven't produced anything worthwhile for our industry. And I go,
I think
that's the sentiment of a lot of people going on. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after this brief word.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live
and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin'.
Good to have you back again. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. By the way, text us in. What are you going to be doing this week or this next couple of weeks as many take breaks? What are you going to be doing? Let us know. I love to look forward to getting your comments. We'll put them on the air here. Let's open this up into more of the discussion. And if we might sound Christmas, Joe and Alice, let's go into the fireside chat, okay? It sounds so nice and relaxing. So seeing as this is a virtual program, for those of you that are listening, you can just assume Alice and Joe and I, if we had cameras, we're sitting around our fireplaces. Actually, we're sitting here on our phones and just chit-chatting. But let's talk about the year in reverse. Looking through the rearview mirror at 2009. What's your thoughts, Joe and Alice?
Well, I'll just start off. I mean, we saw the lowest rates we've had in decades during 2009. It was really quite a nice time. Unfortunately, the ability to qualify people didn't spur the kind of refinance activity that we might have seen otherwise, but still very, very low rates. And, to me, 2009 was absolutely the year of the government. I mean, the government was responsible for producing those low rates by being the primary investor in the mortgage-backed securities. Really, the only game in town in 2009 was the agencies, Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie. They provided all the liquidity for the marketplace. And then things like the homebuyer tax credit was responsible for, a more active home buying market than would be otherwise. So, I know that we're going to talk a little bit about other things the government did, but we can look to the benefits of this market were largely attributable to the government's involvement. I say that sort of tongue in cheek because we've got to get off of that. We've got to get our markets back to a more normal condition, and I'm sure we'll go through some pain as we do that going throughout 2010.
Someone just texted me, Joe, and said, is it possible we can ever get back to normal? And another person texted us, we haven't been in the land of normal for so many years, it's not even funny, because of some of the programs that we saw you go. I mean, many would argue that normal, we departed from normal back in the mid-90s or early 90s when we started getting in some of the crazier programs, and then that carried through into the volumes that we had and the surges of industry. So, but normal as far as the government intervention and things like that, I think certainly this has been the year of the government, a year of unprecedented government involvement, and I don't look like it's going to be anything less than that moving forward, Alice.
No, I know. And, I think what we would hopefully, try and look for is maybe into finding normal more like balance. Will we get some more balance back versus, like Joe's saying, as you look back, it was very unbalanced in terms of where the foundation of the products was coming from, where the money was coming from. And, I'm not sure we're out of the woods yet in across the country.
Well, there's a lot of parts of the country feeling various levels of pain. We look back at the year also, I would say, in looking at a year in review, never have we seen property values have this kind of drop. I mean, it's just unprecedented to see aspects of the market that were so hot. But it seems like at the rate some of the same hot markets went up is the same rate that they've reversed and gone backwards. So we're certainly in a time that we have never seen before, and there's a lot to be grateful for. At the same time, there's for those of you that have survived, you should be very grateful. And we're going to talk about this in the next segment. There's so much to be encouraged by in talking about the future for you, at least from an earnings standpoint. It's going to be a little more complicated, isn't it, Alice?
Yeah, it is. And, for me, one of the things when I look back in 2009 is just the huge transition that went on at FHA. We started with an administration that kept on Commissioner Montgomery, you know, through into, because there was so much going on at FHA that you know, that's not happened to my knowledge before, where they kept on a previous commissioner to help transition, and because FHA was going through so much change. And in the beginning of the year, their efforts to try and help the refis with the FHA Secure program, trying to be lenient, and that almost opened them up to more risk, and everything they tried wasn't working, you know. And now we've got this whole new administration within FHA already locking things down and tightening it up as the risk throughout the year for FHA just dramatically increased and changed under those market conditions.
No, it is, yeah. Joe, come on, give us that fireside chat wisdom that you have. You always Mr. Calm and Cool and Collected. Jump in here, Joe. I always love your demeanor. You and my partner Chuck Klein, you guys got that even temperament demeanor. I love that. A lot of us have gotten so excited about what's going on this last year.
I guess, you know, underwriting guidelines overreacted, as we all know, and those have got to loosen back up. And FHA is kind of a good example. You get what you ask for. If FHA is going to make the market, then they're going to get those things that those loans, those borrowers that maybe aren't so much available in other aspects of the market. So, you know, we've got an environment where underwriting's too tough in a lot of cases. People are too worried about the repurchase obligations that go along with things. And I sure hope 2010 shows us a way to a more rational underwriting approach than what we've seen in 2009.
Would you define it, Joe, as a correction and an overreaction from an underwriting standpoint?
Oh,
to
I think there's
the
no question about that. I think that there were excesses, but I hear tales all the time about people whose credit scores and deposits and cash in the bank are such that the loan is a perfectly good loan in any environment. And those people are being put through the ringer as far as having to provide documentation above and beyond, and having having to answer sort of irrational questions, and it's definitely swung too far the wrong way.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that is our appraisal problems in so many in all the markets. Just about, you know, just the, because you have to worry so much about the fact that when they get in the house, if I'm going to be underwater in a lot of cases on this loan in a very short period of time, and I've really got to make sure this person's going to pay it back. So that was a big transition this year in weighing out loan files. Hello?
I'm sorry about that. My I hit the mute button to ask Andy, our producer, a quick question. I apologize for that. We see some emails coming into us, and I want to make sure that we get to the questions that are going on out there. The feedback I'm getting also, some texts that are coming in, is regarding your comments, Joe. Yeah, it's been an major overcorrection. One guy says the stuff that should be very no-brainer should be getting approved is just getting second-guessed. Another person brought in says it's the credit overlays. These credit overlays that the banks are putting on top of what Fannie and Freddie are willing to put in the approved and accept category is just really torturing a lot of companies out there. The banks are being told, you know what, you got this billions of dollars, now you've got to tighten up on your underwriting. Oh, by the way, you also got to lend more. So they're getting the mixed signals. We watched that in the news last week where, you know, Obama called, you know, some of the top bankers into a meeting and at the White House and says, come on, guys, ante up, put up some money, get out there with your – open the checkbook up. And they're going, would love to. Would you mind giving the same speech to the regulators that are coming in here beating our brains in about what we're trying to do? I mean, so they're really caught between this. So we understand the reason for the credit overlays. Alice, do you see that easing at all? As we look forward, I know I keep wanting to jump forward, but I mean, looking backwards, there's no question it has been there. Give us a little peek into the future.
You know, I guess it all depends on the numbers, and I'm not a big fan of the words "that depends." If any of you attended my classes, you know, especially you've got to be able to try and deal with the facts. So we're going to watch at the beginning of the year what are the facts and the foreclosures. And I think in some markets, what will happen is it's not going to be a national policy. It's not going to be that all of a sudden Fannie Freddie or any of the large players open up their credit score guidelines or any guideline across the country. It's going to be state by state and in some case region by region that are going to loosen up, very methodical approach as those real estate markets stabilize. And I think, yes, I think we're already seeing some signs of that in some markets.
Well, and I'd add something more, too. I mean, we talk about the credit overlays, and that sort of is a result of so many of the loans that we have going through the big banks. And the big banks are kind of now the setter of the underwriting standards. It's no longer Fannie Freddie guidelines. It's kind of now Fannie Freddie guidelines plus. And I don't think that's going to change for a while simply because we don't have we're not likely to see a big movement away from the aggregators being the buyer of the lion's share of the production.
Right. But I think what we're hoping for is that they recognize, get some more common sense back into this on making, on who's going to make payments. And that's, I think, right now there's a lot of tainted servicers out there who have customers who can't afford it but choose not to. So, when their foreclosure rates start to get under control, then we'll see things lightened up. But it'll be hard to see them loosen up before they see a light at the end of the tunnel.
And one other thing about, the cause for all this is the amount of repurchase requests that are going on out there. And, basically you're guilty of selling a loan that needs to be repurchased if for some reason the loan doesn't perform the first 4 years, and it's up to you to prove it was a good loan. And that's been, when you talk, Dave, about, the characteristics of 2009, I think that it is the year of the repurchase as well, because everyone's trying to get off the risk.
Yeah, and there's no question. By the way, I'm sorry I got dropped off there for a while. All I want for Christmas is a new computer. Oh, the joys of this. I had one crash. I'm using my backup computer, and I got bounced out. Sorry about that. So thanks, guys, for carrying the program when I disappear off there. And so, but you know what? The repurchases are huge. And you know what's interesting, Joe, is just another surge of those are hitting as Fannie and Freddie are pushing back to the conduits. Another wave of repurchases, and again, I don't trying to jump forward to the next segment too quickly, but we were hearing that this is going to be a trend that's going to continue again. So those that have survived, and I admire you, I want to stand up and salute you and thank you for staying in the game, are going to be facing yet another round of challenges. So the reality is it's worth it to fight. Many of them are fighting and coming back and winning. So just because you're seeing more and more of those repurchases coming at you, do not assume that you're just, you can't get tired of the fight, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But good point, Joe.
And Dave, you probably ought to address the year as it relates to warehouse lending.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point. Thanks. we start out the year with the biggest, most glaring issue for the independent mortgage banker was warehouse financing. And while we have seen that ease, and while we have digested bad news after bad news after bad news, there is reason for hope. We saw Colonial get taken over because the TBW, the Taylor Beaton Whitaker fiasco, and what happened there. So BB&T took that one over. The largest warehouse lender was picked up, taken over by BB&T. We were all sigh of relief when the fact that BB&T has said they're going to keep their warehouse banking operation open, Colonial's operation open for a period of 12 months. And then very quickly we said, everyone sighed a sigh of relief, and it's kind of like the car, you're driving down a road and you go out, slip out of control, and it looks like you're going to go off the cliff, and it turns up you end up parked over the guardrail. And so you're parked over the guardrail. You remember these movies that have this? Everyone's perched precarious on the guardrail, and they're going, is this thing about ready to tip over? Well, for those that are, quote-unquote, outside of the BB&T footprint, they're being told your line will go away as soon as your facility expires. For those that are, quote-unquote, within the footprint, in other words, where they have offices, where their branches are, they're going to be able – I mean, BB&T, where they have their offices, they're going to be able to continue on with their facility. So for some, the rest of their vehicle is going to go over the cliff as it relates to that warehouse facility. And then, but those that are within BB&T's markets that they serve are going to be able to probably survive and go on. So it's good news for some, bad news for others. Everyone's been scrambling for new warehouse lines, and I could go on and on and on about this, but another one that's been a significant player out there was Nat City. They were taken over, or the feds found, in the feds' wisdom, they merged them with PNC. The bad news about that, PNC is just not committed to warehouse lending, not committed much to the mortgage industry other than on a retail basis. So they said, we're going to shut it down. Well, there was a big scare that they were going to shut it down quickly. Fortunately for everyone at Nat City, they said that we're going to keep it open. Initially, the last warehouse line was going to expire and go, or they're going to send them all packing as of November of 2009. They extended that into first quarter of 2010. So it's given those that have those warehouse facilities time to go secure other facilities. Nat City was at over $2 billion in extended credit facilities. They're down well below $800 million right now, and I believe that is falling fairly significantly as others have been able to successfully go get warehouse lines from other companies, namely the Co-Americas of the world. Co-America is very solid. They're committed to the industry, and they're adding warehouse facilities. But everybody, Joe and Alice, is requiring higher capitalization. So whether it be Fannie and Freddie, who moved to $2.5 million some time ago, Jenny moved up to the higher net worth levels, and now we hear the word with that Commissioner Stevens saying that FHA is requiring $1 million by the end of 2010 and $2.5 million at the end of the 2012, I believe it is, Alice. Then we're in a place where higher capitalization requirements are there. But people are saying, man, they're going up. But the reality is if you're an independent mortgage banker, you got to go to higher capitalization requirements just to get a warehouse line. So could go on and on and on again about that. Don't mean to talk real quickly, but I want to cover all of that. It is a significant year where warehousing has been at the headline issue for every independent mortgage banker. The good news is many of them that are adequately capitalized have been able to get new warehouse facilities. And also, which is really encouraging, a number of community banks are entering into the marketplace to finance and take care of the lower net worth companies. And so there's been reason for an easing, or easing of concern, but it's still a real issue. Now, volumes drop off, I think, is another factor affecting warehouse lenders. For those that do have warehouse capacity, they're not feeling the strain that they were feeling in early in the year when refinancing activity picked up. So, anyway, that's a quick update there. What else on this segment, Joe and Alice, have we not discussed? I want to move on to the next segment fairly quickly here because we're getting a lot of texts. It's great talking about what happened. We all know what happened. It was a horrible year. Can't wait to close the door on this year. We want to hear what you have to say about the new year, some of the texts and the emails that are coming in. So
yeah, let's just move on.
I don't want to talk about last year anymore. This year.
I don't want to talk about
it last year.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about what you can anticipate in the new year. Thank you so much for sticking with us. We'll look forward to talking to you in just a minute.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBS QuoteLine.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. We appreciate you guys. We're slipping in a couple commercials there because we want to spend the rest of this segment, for the rest of the program, talking about the future. What do we got to look forward to in 2010? Certainly, whereas many of us been ready to exit this year. And the question is, are we going into a better environment, Joe and Alice? That's going to be an interesting question. Certainly, it's going to be a different environment with different issues.
Well, I guess I'll just jump in here and let everybody know. I think you have to take what you've learned in 2009 and just continue to say, what are the lessons I learned in 2009? And now going forward, one of the things we've learned is, as a lender, you have to understand your level of risk analysis and your level of risk that your company can manage. So we're already planning and gearing up and helping customers identify from a credit risk standpoint what's going on in your market, so you can say, is my underwriting on track, or is it too lenient, is it too strict, what kind of data do I need to be able to make sure I'm not leaving loans on the table even. So I think assessments have to be done.
Yeah, it's getting feedback from all the various sectors. I mean, what can your balance sheet afford in risk? What does your appetite have just from how much you want to take on from a repurchase risk standpoint? There's many factors that go into this, and it's not just, we want to be out there provide funding for every possible lender, the borrower that can come through the door. There are many transactions you might be able to get done, but you got to go in and look at the risk factor. What this is doing, Joe and Alice, is moving and maturing this industry, and it's moving many executives to the point where it's no longer, can I sell this loan? That's not the single thing
factor.
It was the mentality. It should never have been that mentality, Alice. But
right, yeah, you can't just use the matrix, yeah.
They can't use the matrix. I mean, well, hey, don't worry, they'll buy it. The quick question so many lenders ask is, hey, if I originate this, will you buy it? Well, you know what? It doesn't matter because there's a lot of stuff they said yes to. We've got clients, Joan Alice, that absolutely had these loans. Not only did they underwrite it, it met Fannie Freddie approvals. They were concerned enough to risk, so they sent it to the investor, had them underwrite it, and that's even after an MI company put their certification on, and they're still being asked to repurchase the loan. And they're going, my God, what more could we have done, Dave, than submit it, get it, approve and accept, run the Fannie Mae system on it, get an MI companies, and get the investor. The investor's coming back saying, well, we looked at what was represented. There was fraud in the representation, whether borrower fraud, and most everyone's saying it was borrower fraud. They saying, we don't care who is in the deal. You're still going to repurchase it. So that I do anticipate being a factor again and continuing to be a factor in the new year. The good news is that I think that these can be argued, and if you are struggling with that, Mr. Mortgage Banker, or even many mortgage brokers being asked to purchase, get us involved. We'd be thrilled to talk to you about those and help you guide you through the process. Joe, let's talk about what you see in interest rates. You've already kind of tipped your hat there, gave us indication. You see we're heading into probably a little bit more of a higher rate environment, certainly more pressure to push rates higher in the new year?
Yeah, there's no question in my mind that rates will be higher next year. The Fed will stop buying on March 31st, and when they do, or as we near that, the market's going to, they're probably already pricing some into it, which surprises me that rates aren't higher right now. But we've got to see if there are an adequate number of investors to replace what the agencies are what the Fed's buying right now. So that plus all the monetary policy, the accommodative policy of the Fed, and their desire to spur the economic activity, you just have to assume will become inflationary. So I certainly don't think that rates will be lower than they were this year, and I don't think that they'll stay where they are. I think that they've got to move higher. I was just reading something this morning where Fannie Mae's put out their forecast for next year, and to my surprise, they expect rates to only be 10 or 15 basis points higher next year than this year, and that's using an average for the year. But I'd be surprised if it's not a good bit higher than that. But, what I look for next year, we had lots of change in the origination and, actually the making of the loans this year, and we all suffered through a lot of that, and this might not affect a lot of the listeners out there, but next year I think will be when we see all the change in the secondary market.
Yes.
We have a number of very critical things to overcome next year. Something has to happen to Fannie and Freddie. They're either going to get recapitalized and or they may go away.
Yep.
There's got to be a replacement for that. And I think even we get down to a basic question of will the mortgage-backed securities that Fannie, Freddie, and Ginnie guarantee and cause such a great worldwide attraction from an investor's perspective, will that survive next year? There's if you don't have Fannie and Freddie out there issuing the guarantees, the talk is that some governmental involvement will or government guarantee will need to stand behind the mortgage-backed securities that are sold. There's talk about a covered bond. The way that many European securities are issued is in this covered bond format. It's not too dissimilar from a mortgage-backed security, but it will certainly require the issuer to retain more risk and therefore, I think, cost more to the consumer. As every entity in the origination process is seeing the need to protect themselves from future claims for loans made, we're going to see more and more people have to charge more to build reserves to cover those. So,
I think, Joe, you hit on it, that we're going to see in 2009, in 2010, we will see some form of risk retention by lenders, whether it's just for high-risk loans or, like you said, in the form of covered bonds. That's going to happen in 2010, and so we just have to watch for that.
The old skin in the game, it's going to be coming one way or another, and the reality is everyone should be thinking that anyway. You've had skin in the game, whether you realize it or not. If you question that, go look at the repurchases that are being pushed out at so many. You can't get any much more consequential skin in the game than some of the repurchases that are being pushed back to everyone. There was an announcement that came out over the, I believe it was on Friday, or that Ginnie Mae has announced that Theodore Tozer, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that, T-O-Z-E-R, is going to be the new incoming president for Ginnie Mae. So we wish Ted the best. And he was an executive at National City, and someone that we have within our network knows him very, very well. Here he's a good guy, and that he will be bringing the leadership at the top spot at Ginnie Mae. So he's walking into either for certainly an interesting year, and we got to keep him all in our thoughts as we look at the issues he's facing as the new incoming president of Ginnie Mae. We had a call last week. I had a call with the folks at Ginnie Mae. It was very interesting. There's minimum requirements, and there's the quote minimum requirements to be approved at Ginnie Mae, and now there is the new requirements. And I think we can anticipate in the new year that you may meet minimum requirements, be struggling, but struggle to get your Ginnie Mae approval because of, so many of the issues. They brought on a lot of new companies into the program, and I think the understanding we have is that they're going to be digesting and looking at how those newer companies perform and how they're there. I think what we're also hearing is compare ratios is getting an increased amount of focus. If anyone has a compare ratio that's above 100, you should really have a plan to get it back and get it down below that and be focused on what your number is. I'm surprised, Alice, that the number of people I asked is, what is your compare ratio? And they go, what do you mean by compare ratio? And I go, you got to be kidding. So,
and the 100 is a long way off from where they are now. So lenders are aware that their delinquency rate shouldn't be over 150% of the national average. If they are, interested in being a part of the lender insuring program, some companies operate way above that. And like Dave is saying, this is a heads up for 2010. That number is going to get much tighter. FHA is going to want you down around the average, not above the average.
Yep.
So 100% or around 100% is going to be, something the lenders are going to have to be prepared to cope with.
I think.
Alex,
I mean,
how is that done on a regional basis? Like a compare ratio for your state ought to be different than a compare ratio for Texas.
It is. You can look at the numbers on a regional, what used to be the old FHA offices that were in a particular state, so you can still look at numbers by those regions. You can look by state, but ultimately you do have to be in this comparison is done on a national average, and then case by case, you have to defend your case. So even though I may be in Michigan with a much higher default rate to work with, I'll be compared to national numbers, and I'll have to explain myself in terms of, you know, what are the efforts I'm doing to keep it under control in relation to my state, you know, if FHA starts to take a look at it.
I think for those that are, we're getting a lot of phone calls from across the country as a result of this program and just our standard marketing efforts about companies saying, you know what, we're not sure that we're going to meet the increased capital requirements. We're trying to find a home to go to. And we're telling everybody be sure to be aware of what the company you're moving to, what their compare ratio is. Get an insights. Make an intelligent choice, not an emotional choice, about where you want to park your operation for a period of time, your production operation. I do believe that. I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Alice and Joe. But you know, I do believe that we're going to see brokers come back more into favor. I don't think we'll ever again see the days where they dominated 68, nearly 70% of the market. But I do believe that they're going to come back, even though they're relegated back to only 15% of the market. Some of the reports that are coming out right now is brokers are only controlling or originating 15% of all loans being originated today. That's a major reversal. So I guess if we were to go back to the, you know, looking out the rearview mirror, that's another significant development this year is how the broker has slipped from market share. So as you brokers are looking at that, this is something you should be paying attention to. And so Alice gave me the website on Friday where to go. It's www.hud.gov/groups, GROUPS. /lenders.cfm, and then you go to the early warning tab within that homepage, and you'll start being able to look up any company's ratio or any company's compare ratio. Do you have some feedback on that, Alice? Is there any more color that they should be looking at?
No, you know, I think that's it. It is a public view, so even if you don't have a password into FHA Connection, you can look at Neighborhood Watch. And then, like you said, you know, you can surf to Neighborhood Watch from HUD's lender homepage to be able to check the compare ratios of your company and your competition to see what kind of business that they're doing. You know, I think 2010 is going to bring in some sales opportunities. You've got to think positive about the regulations. We are going to get bombarded with more regulations. Just accept it. So what you've got to do is jump in, find the advantages. We've talked to salespeople who are actually already working with how can I turn this good faith estimate into a good thing, into a good sales tool, and you know, just retool yourself and re-energize yourself on this.
That's such a good point. It you know, attitude is everything, and how the attitude you're taking about the challenges that are lying ahead, and with the changes that have come down are yet going to be coming down, which without question we're going to see more. I think you're going to see, those are survivors, those that think they can. Is that old little train they used to say, I think I can.
Yeah.
I
got from a customer. One customer already as a broker was thinking, okay, as a broker, I can issue 3 good faith estimates. So here's the advantage for a consumer coming to me is if you have marginal or a tough credit scenario and I go to a broker, they're going to be able to say, well, you know, here's 2 scenarios or 2 lenders or 3 lenders, you know, that I have available to submit your loan to here. And yes, you'll be giving 2 or 3 different good faith estimates based on that lender's price. But the customer only has to go one place. Whereas if they go to a large company and the loan gets denied, then they're back to square one at another company, because every company now is so entrenched with an applications, a much more formal event now. A lot of people, you know, Joe and I were talking about it before the show, maybe this will stop some of the shopping as crazy as it's been. And I don't mean stop in a bad way, but, you know, the customer will be more committed to you now during this new application process. Joe, you had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, as a loan officer, you've got to like that. You don't want to spend hours and hours and days and weeks working on a file only to have it shopped because maybe rates got a little bit better, and that will be a thing of the past, I think. I think you'll have a much easier time holding on to your customers in the pipeline.
I was someone just texted me and said, would you please give us that website one more time? And Dave, would you just slow it down a little more so we can write it down? There's so much information we're trying to get out to you. I do have a tendency to speak a little quickly here, so let's give that one more time. And Alice, if you could confirm this, it's www.worldwideweb.hud.gov/. You know, it's that straight line at a right angle turn there. So it's .gov/groups, GROUPS /lenders, LENDERS, .C as in Charlie, F as in Frank, M as in Mary. And if you go in there, and then, Alice, where do they go from that spot? I wrote that much down.
Yeah, from there down in the lower left is Neighborhood Watch. There's Neighborhood Watch Lender View and Neighborhood Watch Public View. Now, those of you with an FHA connection password, you can get into Neighborhood Watch directly. But so you'll be able to select the Neighborhood Watch Public View. Anyone can go into that site. When you go into that Neighborhood Watch Public View, you'll on the left-hand side, you'll select Early Warnings, and you can look up a lender by name or ID number. You know, I haven't tried putting it in a search engine to see if it comes up. It might. If you do Neighborhood Watch Public View, maybe you get a link right on the first page or two there.
You can try it that, or you can work your way through it with the website link that we just gave you, and we encourage you to look at that. The one question that just came in is, do Mini Eagle companies have a compare ratio? And the answer is yes. Interesting you'd ask that. I asked that Alice that question last week. Yes, they do. The Mini Eagle companies, anyone with a HUD approval number is going to show up in that system. You can search it. I was in there searching it over the weekend, and I was for a friend of mine and who's looking at buying a company. And you can search it by state, by region, by I mean, there's just any number of ways to slice and dice that. Don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but if you have any questions, email us. We'll get you into that spot. But it is a critical factor that you should be considering and looking at. If you are looking at making a move and transition to another company, boy, pay attention to that. It is so important. Any other thoughts on that, Alice, before we go on to a couple of the other topics? We've got so much we want to review as we look forward to the new year.
No, I think, you know, you've said it in terms of getting watching your compare ratios going forward and that there'll be new thresholds to watch in 2010.
Well, I just looked at our clock and our producer whispered in my ear and said, Dave, you only got 7 minutes left. I mean, you got to get to a lot of different stuff. Joe, let's go into some of the other things that you're looking at moving forward.
Well, we want to see Bernanke confirmed. I think that he will be. The Senate passed him out. I'd hate for that change to occur right in the middle of all that we have going on. Some people like what he's done, some people don't care so much for it, but all in all, I think he's been good for the marketplace. And
yes, he has.
And just regarding Bernanke, and I read this on the internet, so it's true, right? You asked earlier about rates next year. He seems to be speaking with his own refinance because he refied out of a 5/1 ARM that would have been somewhere around 3.25% upon the 1 year LIBOR conversion to a fixed rate loan. So I think that might tell you what he's thinking in the future.
Well, you know, it conjures up several crazy thoughts in my mind. How would you like to be the loan officer that got the phone call? Says, this is Chairman Bernanke. I'd like to refinance my ARM. You go.
Can you prove job stability?
Stability? Well, you might want to call the Senate on that. We'll have to check into that. There is just brings up a hilarious bunch of thoughts on this as you look at it. But it does. I think it does give you some indication. Regardless, we're in a – if you look at, you know, over the last 20 years where interest rates have been, my goodness, even if they go up a bit, they're still going to be low. But here's the bottom line of it all. Look at the competition, folks. It's disappeared. For the vast majority, thousands upon thousands of originators have exited the industry. The fact that you're still dialing in, tuning in, and staying in the industry and listening to this program, I'm telling you, I can't encourage you enough to stay optimistic, keep a good attitude, and stay in the game. The clients that we have, Joe and Alice, that are staying in this game, while they've had insurmountable frustrations and obstacles in this last year, are all reporting record earnings. Pretty significant.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think those that are there, they said, I don't want it. He said, it's the hardest money we've ever had to earn because, my God, it feels like we got barbarians at the gate just beating it down. We're in a constant war with everyone we sold, all the loans we sold for the last couple of years. We've just been in a one battle after another. Then we got this legislation that's coming. Now interest rates are going up. And they go, yeah, but look at where it's at in the big scheme of things. They said, yeah, we're just telling everyone, we're telling all our competitors interest rates are going up. We're actually smiling about it because not for the consumers. But just because the market is such that there's going to be so few players competing in this market, we think the borrowers are saying no more, what's your rate? It's like, do you have money and can you fund my loan? And I think that's really going to be a lot more of the focus and a lot less shopping to some of the earlier comments made. All right, we're getting close to wrapping up this program. We only got 4 minutes. Joe, Alice, let's run around the horn, being the gentleman that we are. Alice, get us going here.
Well, stay positive, everyone. I know we have a lot of legislation, but always look for the opportunity, and there are always customers out there that need a mortgage.
I just let you know that this today so far, prices are down about 18, 30 seconds. So if you have a loan to lock and you got a good price, go for it.
I love it, Joe. You always bring us right back down to let's talk about where we're at today. Man, what a realist, right? Stay living in the moment, living in now, as that one book says. Everybody, want to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas, especially to our two just ongoing guests that are here every week contributing to the program, helping this be just such a positive, informative program for you. We thank you so much for being a part of the program. We now look for you to tune in the new year. Again, remember, we're not going to be here next week on the program. We're going to be talking to you the week after. Everyone have a Merry Christmas. Talk to you soon.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.